So, before we get started on today's episode, last episode, I called this the potato job. It is not called the potato job. It is called the hot potato job. How I could have forgotten that, I don't know. So if any of you listening were yelling at me in the last podcast, I heard you. I said it wrong. But we're back today to talk about the hot potato job, and Tara Kennedy is back with me.
Hello. So,
how have you been?
Good. How are you?
Very busy. My sister got married over the weekend, and so I got home and I was like, oh my gosh, we have to record this week. But it's cool. I had time to watch my three watches of the episode, so we're ready to go. This episode aired on July 24th, 2011. It was directed by John Harrison, who's directed several episodes of Leverage before, but it was written by Jen Kao, K-A-O, and this is her first episode as a, like, as the head writer on an episode for Leverage. She's a new writer this season, and this was the episode that she brought to them. She was going to write on contract. Like, she just, like, offered, had written this episode, or, like, wrote the idea for this episode and offered it to them, and they were like, how about you just come into the writer's room, Jen Kao? Just be one of us. And they hired her based on this episode because they loved it so much. Because the concept of this episode, the team try to rescue a potato. Yes, a potato from the agricultural company who stole it from its inventor. And this is no ordinary potato. Though, in my opinion, there is no ordinary potato. Potatoes are wonderful. Just think they're just so good. They're so delicious. So many wonderful things can be made from potatoes.
Potatoes really are in all of the best things.
Yeah. And I love the beginning of this episode. So the episode starts out and we see, it's like supposed to be a farm, but we don't see much of the farmland. There's like a little plot of land in the front yard of this house. And a like bald man in a suit is digging around in it. And you're definitely confused at first because you're like, why are the observers from Fringe here? And both of these guys look like they could be observers. They just need the fedora and they're good to go. And Fringe was on, like airing at the time of this episode. So it's doubly strange. But this young woman opens the front door of the house and like runs out and is like, what are you doing here? And they tell her like very menacingly that she's got something of theirs. And when her dad runs up to like protect her, they punch him in the stomach really hard and then almost run over them with their SUV as they leave.
And it's, yeah, it's just all the menacing. It's the, you know, the bald men in the dark suits in the black SUV with the tinted windows.
Yeah, you're like, oh gosh, what has she gotten herself into? And it turns out her name is Emily. She's a young farmer who's a crop sciences major at a local university. When she said it the first time, I was like, she's a craft science major? No, it's crop science. I get really excited. I was like, I didn't know you could craft as a major. Go back and get a new degree. But she, her dad was severely injured after this. They like broke some ribs. They almost punctured a lung. But like her small town sheriff can't do anything about it because they don't have an ID on these guys. They weren't able to get a license plate number, but she knows that they're from Verd Agra, which is a big agricultural company who's been calling her, trying to buy something from her. And Sophie assumes they want to buy the land, they want to buy the farm, but they don't. They want to buy. And she pulls up this like rusty, cute little lunchbox. She pulls it out. They want to buy her potato. And I love that she made this as part of her thesis project for school, which I'm like, that's so cool. And gives me some thoughts for in a minute that I wanted to throw your way and see what you think about it. But originally they were going to have this girl be like a high school student doing like a 4-H project. And she came up with this potato, but they thought like the way that the two, bald men in suits were, they thought it was a little too menacing if she'd been like a teenager. So this way she's at least like an adult. And it's still scary, but not as awful as if she'd been like a 17 or 16 year old child.
Although she really does look like maybe 19. So yeah.
She looks really young.
Definitely. I mean, I believed she was in college, so that does help a little.
Yeah. I love, she calls it her super tuber, her potato, and it has tons of nutrients in it. And she, you know, Sophie wants to know, why don't you just, you could make tons of money, just sell this potato to this company like they want, and you could, like, you'd be set for life. But she's too much of a humanitarian. She wants to give away these potatoes and the seeds for free to people so that they can grow it and their children can be healthy, because like 500,000 kids go blind from no vitamin A, which is a stat I did not know. And then I love Nate's like, oh yeah, open source farming. That's really cool. And I was like, that's really, I like the way of thinking of that, open source farming. And, you know, so Nate's like, yeah, you're threatening their bottom line so that, you know, they want to get this from you. Because if you're giving away this wonderful potato for free, you're taking money away from them. And they tell her, you know, be tough, like, don't let them scare you. But she's, or no, she says, I'm not going to let them think that I'm scared, but I am. And Nate says, you know, we're going to take care of you. Don't worry. We'll protect you. Which, of course, has, like, Sophie going, oh, okay, yes, that's very hot, Nate. She just, like, looks at him. She's like, oh, yes. I like him to talk like that. And, you know, then they leave. And then Sophie's getting up to go, and Nate's like, where are you going? And she's like, oh, I'm going to go get hungry. All this talk of tubers has made me, I'm starving. So he suggests they go grab a bite, just, you know, as colleagues, as, you know, just as friends, just two adults having a dinner together. And it does not just end at dinner. Because the next scene, we just see Sophie's bra hanging from the spiral staircase in Nate's apartment, which is just the perfect shorthand for, oh, hey, we got it on. We didn't even make it upstairs. We're two people, like, in our 40s sleeping on the ground. Though I think maybe she went upstairs because she comes from downstairs and she's already dressed. Or she comes from upstairs. She's already dressed. And I imagine Sophie, like, waking up in the middle of the night, leaving Nate on the floor. And going upstairs to sleep in a bed.
That's very true. Yes, I could see Sophie doing that.
Then she gets up, takes a shower, puts her clothes back on, except for her bra, and she's ready to go. And he's just waking up when she comes downstairs and is immediately regretful of what they've done. And he's like, oh, this is a mistake. And she's just like, you know, it's, they call it the San Lorenzo. You know, hearkening back to their hookup at the end of season 3. And so she's just, like, playing it really casual, and he's freaking out. And, you know, she's just, we're like, we're just friends with extras. We're two adults, like, we can handle this. And, you know, he's like, we can't have a relationship. But she's like, yeah, of course not. The team is perfect the way it is. We don't want to mess anything up. So this is just something that happened. It's fine. We were spontaneous. It's okay. And before he can, you know, get in his feelings any more than that, the team shows up and they're like, oh, yes, we're completely normal. It's fine that my shirt's unbuttoned and I don't have shoes on. But they're like in mid conversation about this super tuber because Hardison is very impressed by it. He says it got, ooh, what kitty. He says it's got more nutrients than a Flintstones vitamin, which I'm not sure. Do people still take Flintstone vitamins? Is that still a relevant?
I was going to say yes, but I actually don't know that for sure.
Well, I think anybody probably watching the show.
Probably at the time of the show. I think it felt like a very relevant reference.
Yeah, especially for a Hardison's age. And so on top of that, though, it's also resistant to, like, weather-related things, to bugs, it's drought-resistant and all this stuff. And Hardison says she's basically a biohacker. You know, he hacks computers and she hacks vegetables, which is amazing. And while they're talking, Sophie notices that her bra is still hanging on the staircase. So she's like really subtly trying to tell Nate to go check it out, move it. And he like goes over and he's really awkward and he's like trying to get it and he drops it, which was not in the script. Timothy Hutton accidentally did not grab it with his hand. And so then he has to grab it with his foot and like pick it up subtly. But his look on his face when he drops it is actually Timothy Hutton being like, oh, I messed it up. And they kept it in, which is beautiful.
Also, for some reason, that just seemed like an odd choice to me. Both Hardison and Elliot are wearing knit caps inside.
Mm.
Which, so yeah. I kept waiting for that to turn out to like be a perfect thing for them to have for their disguise later, and it really isn't.
It's not. And a lot of times when like Christian Kane's wearing a knit hat, it's because he's cut his face in some way and they're trying to hide it. I don't know, maybe it was just because of the weather outside. Because later they both take their hats off.
They do both yeah. take their hats off later. Uh-huh.
But it is nice because apparently every outdoor scene, you can't really see it because it's not backlit, but it was like pouring rain the whole time. Anytime anybody was outside, they were getting rained on. Parker is not understanding the fact that they're actually talking about potato. She's like, what's, it's just a potato? Like, what's so important about it? And Elliot's like, you know, potatoes are a really valuable commodity. They're worth $3.5 billion a year. And she's like, how do you know that? And he goes, I'm from the heartland. And that's how he knows this number off the top of his head. Like, what? No, you did your homework so you can impress everybody. You didn't know that just because you're from the heartland. Right. But yeah, she thinks that that they're still being bugged. And she's like, oh yeah, the potato. And Hardison is just like, why? No, it's literally a potato.
Yeah. Oh, no, she's convinced it's diamonds because it can't be that important if it's not diamonds.
Everything important is diamonds. Yeah. According to Elliot, though, this company, Vert Agra, spends more on security than, I wrote some countries, but actually in the episode he says most countries, which is wild. And then we're introduced via, you know, PowerPoint presentation to our baddies in this episode, who are the super paranoid CEO played by Mitch Pileggi from the X-Files. And his character's name is Colin Saunders. And then we have Jana West, who is his COO. And she's played by, her name is Bama Roger. And she has, I was like on her IMDb, like looking her up. She's like a YouTube series. She's a, you know, she acts and does like voice stuff. And I found out she went to high school in Dallas. She's, you know, in Texas where I'm from, but she's got a YouTube kind of series of her stand-up and some like skits and stuff. And I just started watching and I'm like, oh, she's funny. It doesn't have a ton of views. So if you want it's called The Bama Show, Bhama.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty good so far. Yeah, but she's the COO and she's like really ambitious and cutthroat and she does all the dirty work for him, including like sending people out to threaten college-aged girls who are making potatoes to save the world, you know, like you do. And while they're learning about her, Nate gets a call from Emily, telling him that the Vert Agra lawyers are there on her property. And so they like, you know, everyone has to like get up and like run out of the apartments to try to get there to her in time, but they don't, sadly. They get there like 10 minutes late. And we see that they've, I guess, I don't know if they had a warrant. They like go in her house and take some seedlings from her house. And West, she just has like a seedling, like a sprout and in a thing of dirt, and she's just holding the dirt in her hand with the plant growing out of it. Like, no container. She's just like, this is ours. You stole our seeds, and that violates our copyright. and I guess modifying Vert Agra's seeds is violating their copyright, and therefore they get to keep it. That's what she's claiming. But Emily says she, you know, I never used your seeds, and she's like, well, do you have the money to get to go to court for this? You could lose your entire farm if you don't win. So do I have that right? Like, if she was using your seeds?
I think she was saying that because the seeds were theirs, that any intellectual property that develops from there becomes theirs. Okay. Which it had not really fully occurred to me that seeds could be copyrighted, but it makes sense that they would be.
Yeah. In the commentary, they were saying that things like this do happen, but I didn't look into that anymore. So things like that have happened in the past. That is a shady thing that big agricultural companies will do to smaller farmers. So this is, so they end up taking one of her potatoes, and they have like a briefcase with like a special just hole that's just the right shape for a potato, and they put it in to take away. But this is where my question comes in that I was thinking about. So she's created this potato for her thesis. So she's got documentation of every step of the way. She has to, right? Like, if she's going to write like an actual thesis on this. So like, she's like, no, look, I have documentation of everything, of all the seeds that I use. Like, but it probably would take a lot of time and money.
And yeah. I mean, I think that was it, is that she probably could prove it, because they also can't just be like, well, we're sure she used a seed. They would have to eventually prove that.
Yeah.
To be able to show up on her property and steal a thing that was literally in her house. But yeah. I think it is sort of the whole, you know, she absolutely could take them to court and she might win. It would just, you know, take 2 years.
Yeah. And in the meantime, do they get to keep that potato and reverse engineer it and, or like plant from it and then come up with their own version? That's true. Okay. But I just, you know, I just 100% believe that Emily did all her documentation as she wrote this thesis. But yeah, as we said, they get to the farm too late, and Elliot tells them if they get the potato back to their headquarters, and the team has to break in at that point, it's going to be like breaking into Fort Knox because it's so well secured. So, you know, they head off and they're going to like trap them before they can get back to town, to their headquarters. So Hardison has to pretend to be a farmer because they find a bunch of hay bales on the side of the road, and he's like blocking the road so they can't get by.
Although it did not seem like the rest of the team knew that that was the tack that Hardison was going to take.
Right.
Until he started speaking like a farmer.
Because he's dancing to his headphones. And they're like, what are you doing? And he just starts talking like he's an urban farmer. And Nate's like, this is bad. This is bad. And I love Elliot's like, I keep telling him you can't fake country.
Well, Nate even says, like, remember Laos?
Yes.
Very and I'm like, ominously. And you're just like, what? Oh, no.
Happened in the last. Yeah. That reminds me of like in the Sherlock Holmes canon, there are a bunch of like references to other adventures that Watson never tells us about. It's just the giant rat of Sumatra. And you're like, what was the giant rat of Sumatra? Tell me. But yeah, remember Laos. But Parker's like, oh, I think they're buying it. They're not. They're not buying it at all. So Sophie takes over, and she, from this point, Sophie is basically in charge, and it is wonderful. And she walks up, and I love, like, she's still wearing, because she's, you know, in her not walk of shame, because Sophie doesn't do a walk of shame, but she's still in the same clothes from the day before. And she had this like shirt that was like off one shoulder, but now she's pulled it up on the shoulder, and then she's got a little black blazer over it, so it looks very professional and bland. And, you know, she has her hair back in a bun, and she walks up to Hardison, like, out of nowhere, and just punches him. just cold cocks him in the face and knocks him the hell out. Like, he's on the ground unconscious. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm a special security consultant. Your board of directors sent me. And she knows all this stuff about the potato and why they're there. And West is, she's like confused, but also like believes her. So they take her with her off to the headquarters.
Yeah, I mean, Sophie's so great at her job, right? Because I was like, you know, she obviously did the thing where she showed up and she took care of the problem that they were having, which worked for them. But she's totally like, oh, my car is no good anymore. You guys weren't supposed to stop. We should definitely talk about this back at the office. I'll need a ride with you. And they're like, okay. Yeah, like, really?
My car is a burner. I have never heard of a car being a burner. A phone, yes. My car is a burner. I got to go with you. Amazing. She's, and then the voice that she's doing, which they talk about in a little bit, so good. But the, you know, the SUV zooms off down the road and Nate and Parker and Elliot show up and Hardison's waking up and he's like moving his jaw around. And Elliot's so proud. He's like, she really got you, didn't she? I've been teaching her some things. And you know, at first Hardison's like, oh no, I had to, you know, I was just pretending. But then later he's like, no, she's got her right hook like a freight train. And, you know, Elliot's like, yeah, that's my girl. And Hardison's like, don't teach people stuff like that. But that line, she's got her right hook like a freight train, they actually stole from Timothy Hutton from the end of season 2. When he is, when he's handcuffed to the boat before, like the team all leave and the helicopter, when they were filming it, they didn't get it on the first take when Sophie slaps Nate. So they had to do it several times and she full on slaps him. It's not a fake slap. And they, you know, they took a break and John Rogers went up and he was like, hey, how you doing? And Timothy Hutton said, she's got a right hook like a freight train. And John Rogers was like, I'm going to steal that. So with, well, canon, actually, yeah.
That is canon. But I was like, especially that scene where he was chained to the rail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it did really hurt.
Yes. Oof. Oof. I love that. I love it so much. So Elliot also says now that they've got a man on the inside, it's going to be easier to break in now because the potato has been taken back to the headquarters. And I love Nate's like, no, is no one upset that Sophie just like took over and changed what we were going to do? Like, she punched you, Hardison. And Hardison's just like, sometimes I'm man enough to take one for the team. Sometimes you just got to do that. And he's forgetting that she ran the whole crew for like 6 months when he was in jail. Like, the rest of them are happy to follow her lead because they know she's wonderful and they don't have control issues like somebody else.
Yeah, I was going to say that was clearly a question that was projection. It doesn't bother the rest of you that Sophie just took over?
It's like, because no, it bothers me.
It doesn't bother the rest of us that Sophie just took over.
They're like, no, we're good. Yeah, it's fine. And so they have to like really quickly build this identity for her because she's given them a name, but she doesn't have a cover. And there's a perfect one, but it was made for Elliot originally. And I love, he's just like, it's all hers. She can have it. Like, I don't care. And then there's like, ah, ha, ha, funny thing. We're accidentally, like, Hardison leaves the male gender on there and the dude is like double look, gives her a double take and he looks back and it says female, but he's like, male? What? I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's a joke that would be as funny today. But yeah, so she is passed through as like, she's, you know, cleared through security. But they still don't trust, like, what I love this, like this, you know, whatever West is, a COO, she's has like several levels before she'll really trust that she is who she says she is. So she's like, all right, you can get in the car with us. You can come to the headquarters. But then we're going to check the computer, make sure you're cleared. Okay, now I'm going to call the board of directors, see if they'll tell me that you're official. And they reroute it to Nate, and he says, I can't confirm or deny, which is exactly what they would say. And she's like, okay, but I still don't really trust you. So they take her to an interrogation room and then like sit down and they're like, who are you? Why don't we know about you? And then Sophie gets to work and it's beautiful. It is amazing to watch her do this because she gets like right into her head. She's like, oh, these men, they trust you and respect you. And then, you know, she's like, yeah, until I mess up. But she's like, oh yeah. And she's like mirroring her. She like leans forward and puts her hand in her head in her hand when she does. And it's great. So she tells her that they've got a security breach and the board has hired her to figure out who the mole is. And Nate's like, oh yeah, this is great. She's running the Romanian circus, which is where you fake an internal enemy. But she's doing a variant because just a plain old straightforward con is not enough for Sophie. She's doing a snipe hunt, which is leaner and sharper. And it means that you have to like have a lockdown of the whole building. So they have to get in before the lockdown happens so they can do this. It's also at this point that Elliot realizes what voice she's doing. Which is his voice. And I think they said that they threw that in because she was a little hurt by how they'd all made fun of her British accent in the Rashomon job. They make fun of the British accent.
Although her Hurtland accent is a little... It's a little fishy. And then, but she does keep trying to do, in addition to doing the deeper voice to be more closely match Elliot, she's also doing very meaningful pauses, which even Elliot notices. It's just like, what is the pausing about? And it's like, yep, that's what you do.
It's so good. And her face, like, when she does different voices, she's so good because she like takes on like her face looks different. It looks like heavier and more masculine when like she doesn't have any different makeup on, like nothing. It's amazing. Gina Bellman's so good. So they, you know, she finally convinces West. So then they take her upstairs to meet with Saunders so she can apprise him of what the board wanted him to know, you know, theoretically. And he immediately is like, oh, I've been CEO since blah, 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 1994. And then he gives his like evil speech of evil. And, you know, it tries to explain like why Vert Agra deserves to have this potato. You know, they've got the resources and she's just this little country farmer and they're on every continent and blah, blah, blah. You know, just bullshit. And he tells her, you know, she's like, do you have the item? And he's like, yeah, I've got it in the burn room. Instead of like straight, like, yeah, instead of straight to like the botanist to grow some more and get going on this, it's in the burn room, this potato that could go bad. And he's the only one with access to that. So she, you know, she promises him we're going to find this mole and we're going to start with this lockdown. And then we get to see like the rest of the team try to get in the building before it gets locked down, which is always a lot of fun. Hardison walking up in like a jumpsuit with like 80 packages as the like proto Amazon delivery guy and, you know, dropping them everywhere. And then Parker trying to walk him through how to do a lift and he misses on the first go. But then he finally gets it on the second one. And Elliot's like, oh yeah, good job. First good lift in 3 years. Like, that's mean. And then Sophie says she needs an accountant to help her out with her part of the con, which Nate's like, okay, cool, that'll be me. What are we going to do with everybody else? And she says, no, it can't be you. I need a hitter, because this con, like, the thing that she's doing is really a hitter's con. So she needs him there. And he's like, oh, okay. You don't want to play with me? And he's like, I just thought you were going to get me in. And she says, well, you're the mastermind. You can figure out another way. You're going to be fine. And he's like, that's right. I forgot. I'm a genius. And I honestly love how Parker and Nate get into this building. But first, Elliot has to get inside. So he tackles somebody and takes all their clothes off, I'm guessing. Well, obviously, because he puts them on himself, which is ends up being a short sleeve pink button down.
Well, to Elliot, that's what an accountant looks like. So
yeah, I mean, obviously, and a tie, and he has his glasses. That at first he's like, "Whoa," trying to get used to the prescription, and then he puts his hair in a ponytail because can't have that those luscious locks down. People won't buy it that you're an accountant. And he goes in, and immediately he's like, "Okay, these guys are all ex-military." It's a, you know, very specific stance that they've got. And then Nate and Parker with their cover story, which is that they are the field trip guides, and they intercept a school bus of kids, and they tell the teacher, "Oh, you can leave. You don't need to stay." And I love it. He's like, "Don't I need a chaperone?" And I'm like, "Yes, you do need a chaperone. Also, there should be other chaperones for this number of children."
Yeah, it was sort of one of those things that I was like, you know, like, obviously, this is not good chaperoning on her part. But on the other hand, like, these two responsible looking adults are like, "Go get a coffee. We'll take care of the kids." I mean,
yeah,
who could resist that offer?
I know. And I love that, like, we do not pay them enough.
Well, and also when she hands the clipboard over to Nate, like, one of the kids apparently already has like a bunch of marks next to his name, so it seems it's already been a troublesome bus ride.
Yeah, she's like, okay, bye, don't have to tell me twice. So good. Yeah, and that little kid immediately is like, I'm not staying here, you're not my teacher, you're not my dad, my real dad. And I love Nate's like, all right, Trevor. He like immediately knows who he is. And he's like, how'd you know my name? And he's like, well, Trevor has a bunch of check marks next to his name. And he's like, you got a problem with authority, huh? I understand. That little kid is super cute. I meant to look up who he is. Trevor Dawson is played by Sam Judge. He doesn't have a picture on IMDb. He's only been on one other thing, and it was before that. And he played 96 Baby 4. Huh. I don't know what that means. Something called Roofer, R-U-F-U-R. So wherever you are, Sam Judge, I hope you're doing well. Because he's really cute as this little kid. And they, as soon as they come in, the lockdown starts and all the doors close and lock, obviously. But nobody's concerned about this group of children.
Yeah, nobody was concerned that they had locked a group of children in. None of the children seemed concerned that this building had gone on lockdown.
Yeah.
I mean, I also confess, like, you know, I did not go to school in the Heartland, but I don't actually know what fun would have been in store for a group of school kids in a corporate agriculture building.
Yeah, That's true.
So maybe lockdown is more exciting than anything that they actually could have been expecting.
Yeah. I do wonder what they do the rest of the day, because at the end, the teacher's like, did you have a good time? They're like, yeah!
Well, they seem to be in the cafeteria just watching a movie.
Yeah, maybe they got free French fries or something. Because, you know, as a kid, I would have been like, that was the best field trip.
Right, like if they gave me French fries and let me watch a movie, I think I'd have been set. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, but also, at the end, they do get to witness something pretty exciting. So, the place locks down and Nate's like, oh, what a great opportunity to teach these children about the security system of this building. Let's look at this map. So the security is like a bullseye and there's the green zones and the yellow zones and the red zones. And this is basically to tell Parker what she's got to do. What if I just found some key cards? Oh, that's cool. But they track the key cards. So you couldn't, they would know where you were. And it's great. She's like looking around and like eyeballing people's key cards to see who she wants to take. So good. And then Elliot's upstairs being introduced as the accountant, and he starts talking in his normal voice. He has to stop and like clear his throat and then like talk with a different pitch and cadence. So good. He's like, numbers don't lie.
Oh, but also with Sophie doing his voice, he can't do his voice.
I know. It's super good because he's like, oh, fine. So they have to get the head of IT out of the server room so that Hardison can get in. So they do that. And yeah, and then at this point, Nate and Parker leave the kids in the cafeteria with the movie. Okay. And they're just like, bye, kids. And there's just some employees having a snack. No one cares. This is when Parker like lifts her little blazer that she wears the rest of the episode too. I missed it on the first couple of viewings. I was like, oh, okay. And she needs to look like more than one person so that she can get to the center of the bullseye. Cause if they're tracking her, so she's got to get these different badges for the different levels. And Sophie's like, cool, I'll do that. And so Hardison calls in people with like three different clearances for her to like interview, to look for the mole. And they're like a botanist, an accountant, and the in-house masseuse. And she's like, she has to make up a story of how they're related and why they might be involved in an espionage. So she's like, He's fathered children off both these women, and the paternity prizes alone are enough to make you want to screw your company over. And then she gets to say, she doesn't say it in Elliot's voice, sadly, but she gets her own damn it, Hardison. Because he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I should have given you a heads up. But she's so good at like coming up with the cover story. She's like, oh yeah, I played a nurse for 3 episodes on some obscure soap opera. So good. So Parker, then she gets the badges to Parker, who has to create, I love this, a crude Faraday cage with some foil, which blocks the sensors on the ID cards. And then she has to like drop each badge after she uses it so that it doesn't continue to follow her. And when she gets to the yellow zone, they drop the name Glenn Reader, the Glenn Reader keypad, which I love when they, those little like things that happen over and over again that are, based on the writers' names. And Trevor finds Nate and Hardison in the server room. He's like, what are y'all doing? And Hardison wants to like knock him out. He's like, you want me to put him to sleep? I can do that. Nate's like, no, that's not going to work. Get him a chair. He's in. He's in the crew now. So they give him a chair and they let him watch because they love to mentor.
And he just sits there really happily. I mean, it is fascinating. And I understand that, like, conceptually, like, that actually the idea is that this gives them someone who doesn't know what's going on to explain things to. But I'm just like, I'm not sure. Like, I think it would have seemed exciting for the first 10 minutes. And then I've been like, okay, I'm bored. I could be eating French fries now.
Right. I also, it occurred to me that like, he can't hear what everybody else is saying.
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, unless, although I wouldn't put it past Hardison to have a spare earpiece that he planted to this child. Because after Hardison gets over the idea that the kid is just going to sit here and watch, like, he is suddenly sharing all of the information with this seemingly insecure source.
True. Well, I mean, nobody's going to believe this kid. But
this is true. I mean, I guess that is the advantage of Trevor being the troublemaker, is that no one's going to believe him.
Exactly. I kind of bought that the minute he got accepted into like the cool kids club, or like these people are doing something exciting that's probably not following the rules, that he would just kind of be like in awe and like watching stuff. Especially because they're like, you know, transferring large amounts of money from accounts in the Caymans and things like that. Little kids, like kids that age, love when they're like, oh, I get to be like a grown up. And it's, yeah, I fully think that Trevor, one, is getting ideas for the future, and two,
I mean, Trevor is definitely going to be running his own crew in the future. Yeah. I'm
like, where is the reboot? We're going to get Sam Judge. He's going to come on. He's going to be the new Nate. And it's great. The child is just adorable. So Parker finally gets to the red zone. Not finally. She didn't take too long. She is Parker. And the security at the red zone is a stationary guard just standing there by the store and a double manual lock. So he's got one key and somebody else has the second key. And they both have to open up at the same time. So then everybody's like fighting over how they're going to get that key. You know, Sophie's like, okay, Elliot, go get this person. And Nate's like, no, don't get that. And Elliot straight up yells in the hallway. He's like, who's running this? But Parker's like, no, I got it. Don't worry. Because she sees a janitor. So she walks up to this man and sneezes in his face, which is horrible.
But very effective when a person's entire job is cleanliness.
Yeah, so effective. And, you know, they're like, he's going to notice it's gone. And she's like, not for a little bit, because I'm about to get some snot in his eyes. So he's all distracted. And as he's wiping his face, they call him down to the interrogation room. And, you know, Hardison's looking at his stuff and he's like, this guy is clean. Like, there's nothing we're going to be able to grill him on for any length of time. But Sophie immediately is like, how long have you been working here? You know, do you think you're compensated well for your time? And she's like, why do you have an account in the Cayman Islands? And Nate's like, whoa, pump the brakes, what the heck? And the guy's like, I knew you'd find out. And Hardison like looks it up and he's like, he does have an account in the Caymans. And Nate's like, she's good at what she does, she knows people. Oh my gosh, it's so good. But like Elliot's surprised, and Sophie's also a little surprised. She's like, oh shit, I didn't think that would work. I mean, I totally knew it would work. So great. So then that's, you know, he's been caught, and West is like, cool, I'll call Saunders and we'll lift the lockdown because we found the mole, which is not good because the minute they lift this lockdown, they're gonna be caught. So, you know, I noticed in this part, she's like doing a lot of touching, like her, whatever that's, you know, why can't I think of it?
Is it the neurolinguistic programming?
Thank you. Yes. Where she's like directing by touching and things like that. And she's like, no, like, I think actually Saunders might be a mole, because this guy would not be working by himself. And, you know, does he trust you, or does he get upset when you take on leadership roles and things like this? And which is very much a metaphor. She's just basically saying what Nate does. And Hardison's like, ooh. And he goes, if you ever want to talk, I'm here for you. Which I love. I love that man. So I thought this was interesting. And it's what you said earlier. They're using Trevor to explain to the audience what they're doing and why it's effective. So Nate calls up the security guard at the door that they're at, waiting to get into, and starts yelling at him as his superior. So they're overloading his brain, maxing out his senses. So he's so stressed out at being yelled at by his boss that when Parker comes up, he's not really going to question what she needs from him because his boss is yelling at him. And he just like opens the door and lets her through. And Hardison's explaining this to Trevor, and Nate's like, don't teach him that. Don't do that.
Yeah, that is a tactic that would be very effective with teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so Parker finally gets to the seed vault, which the burn room's on the other side of the seed vault, and it's kept below freezing, which is an issue for most human bodies. And it's they based it on the Svalbard Global Seed Vaults. Do you know what that is? Yes.
I do, only because there's a couple of romantic suspense books about it.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, I don't know why I know about it, but I was like, oh yeah, which is a secure seed bank on the Norwegian island of Spitsbergen in the Arctic Svalbard archipelago. And it's where they have a bunch of, like, tons of seeds there in case of a global catastrophe. We can replenish the Earth's crops, which is a smart thing and a terrifying thing all at the same time. And it's, I don't think it's just seeds. It's like embryos and genes and things like that as well, I believe. Don't quote me on that. Go read the Wikipedia or something else about it before you trust me. But yeah, so the seed vault is below freezing and Parker's just like, yeah, let's go for a walk. Despite Hardison's freaking out, you know, it's gonna lower your core body temperature. And we've already seen before that Parker is not affected as quickly by extreme temperatures since she like crawled through that steam vent. It was like 127 degrees or something. So she finds a keypad and she can see, it's so cool. She like, you know, breathes like some hot air on it, like she on it and sees the numbers that are used most often. And they have to figure out what it is. And it, you know, Nate uses his super brain to figure out that it's the date that Saunders told us earlier when he took over as CEO. And then it opens up and there's like tons of lasers. And she's like, why aren't lasers warmer? Which I love. I also love Beth Riesgraf did some great acting here because apparently that room was far from cold when she was in it. It was actually very, very warm. They had a ton of people in there. And meanwhile, they've been trying to keep an eye on Saunders and he's caught on to this and he gets real paranoid real fast and he brings Sophie and Elliot in and he's like, I know you're out to get me and, you know, I'm going to send people out to look for your compatriots because you've got to have other people out here. And it turns out there's an alarm that comes out. They're like, oh, there's somebody in the burn room and or in the seed vault. And it's you, because earlier Sophie had stolen Saunders' badge. And so that's what they used to get into the red zone. And he's like, but I'm going to burn everything in that room before you guys take me down. Like, if you're taking me down, I'm taking everything with me. And I love this. Sophie break.
Well, I was going to say, earlier when they talked about the burn room, Parker goes, everything catches on fire?
Yes. Oh, I forgot that. That's such a good point. Yeah. She's like, ooh, putting that on my Christmas list. Maybe Santa will bring me a burn room. It would be great. yeah, so he's like, I'm gonna burn it, and he hits the button. And I love, like, Sophie here, it's like her character has said, all right, you caught me, now I don't have to speak in my Elliot voice anymore. And so her British accent comes back, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm not scared, even my accountant could beat up these guys, which is, you know, cue Elliot to beat people up in his pink shirt. But Saunders hits the burn button anyway, and Sophie is like, get out of there, Parker. And it explodes. It explodes into fire. And Parker does this like slide. That is not how I would slide out of an exploding room, but I am not, I would like head first.
Yeah. Like, I haven't trained for this, but yeah, she slides out on her knees, which is
arching her back.
Incredibly dramatic.
Yeah. I was like, I'd want to get my head as far away from the flames, but she like leans back. they had to like lube up the floor, and they like attached like a pulley to her and dragged her because the floor wasn't slick enough. But I did like when she's walking in, she slips a little on the floor to kind of, you know, set the stage for like, oh, this is a slick surface. I could slide on the ice or whatever it is. Which I like. I like when they like plant that little seed. Seed. And then, you know, everything's kind of going wild, and the kids are kind of leaving. Nate is taking all the kids out of the building, and Saunders is like, who the hell are these people? And he's like, oh, well, we're from the, you know, the Green Farmers, and I'm going to write a sternly worded letter. And Parker shows up, and you see the back of her. Her, like, jacket is singed. Hi, Teacher Mike. Hi, Teacher Jen. And we get a flashback to her, like, doing the... What is the Catherine Zeta-Jones movie where she, like, does the laser dance? Entrapment. Yeah, so she's doing, like, the laser limbo. And she finally gets, and she opens up the briefcase, and she's like, is the diamond in the potato? Right. She sees that it's actually a potato. So she's like, still has not caught on. And Hardison's like, no, it's a potato. And she's like, have you not been listening? She's like, oh, no, not really. So good. And then West storms in to fire Saunders. And she says, you know, we knew you were in league with the janitor. We saw the money that was transferred into your account once you hit the burn button. And they, like, carry him off, and he's all angry. And then some more security guards come up to tell her that she's fired, too, because they made Nate and Hardison made it look like the money had been transferred from her to Saunders. So they're like, yes, we've rooted out a real mole and two bad CEOs.
Although I felt a little bit bad for the janitor. I mean, I understand that he was stealing money from the company.
Yeah.
But I mean, he worked hard to steal his money, and then they took all his money and used it to frame two other people.
Yeah. And he would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for those meddling...
Right? I mean, he could have just gone off and lived in the Caymans and, you know, had a good life where somebody else had to clean up after him.
I know. In another story, we would have been helping him. Right? Maybe he'll come back and he'll be like, wait a minute, you look familiar. And then we see the kids, they're all leaving. And the team, like, does their, you know, like, whatever the far opposite of a walk of shame, it's like the walk of pride, like the strut out. And Parker is letting all the kids onto the school bus, and she says, oh, I'll trade you, and gives Trevor back his phone, which we saw at the beginning. Trevor, they had to establish that Trevor had a phone for this to work. And he gets a little call, like a text message from a parent that says, you're great, or something. And Nate's like, you're too young for a phone. And he says, it's in case I get abducted. which he doesn't get abducted, but he does get adopted by some criminals. And so we see, as they switch these out, that he has a phone case, and they've sliced off part of the potato that has a bunch of eyes so that it'll sprout, and they put that inside the phone case and gave it to him because they don't check the kids on the way out or the way in. They just check the adults. And then the rest, which I think is brilliant, the rest of the potato got made into French fries in the cafeteria. So good. So good. And Trevor, like, before he gets on the bus, he, like, runs back to Hardison, and they have, like, a secret handshake that they do. And then he's on the bus, like, telling the story. And then the big guy beat up, like, a million guys, and the teacher's like, Trevor, what have we said about using too many words? She's like, even after a day off from him, she didn't, wasn't enough. Also, at the beginning, they were like, we'll see you at 5 o'clock. No, you need the kids back before 5 o'clock because they got to go home.
Right, especially if this trip has been long enough for Trevor to get there, has been long enough for Trevor to commit all of these infractions.
Oh, no. Trevor could do that in a 15-minute drive.
Okay. So you're saying I did not have enough faith in Trevor. Okay.
No. Oh, you gotta believe in Trevor. He's an achiever. That Trevor. And then back at the bar, Emily's like, she's so sweet. And she's really happy. And her potato is back. And she's got a little baggie of water. And she's like, okay, they fired the CEO and the COO. And Nate's like, I don't know what happened. That's so mysterious. And she leaves, and then Nate and Sophie are like, oh, we're finally alone again. We have to talk about the elephant in the room. And I love, she's like, a former Jesuit seminary student can't handle casual relationship. I'm shocked.
That was such a great note.
So good. And then, you know, immediately afterward, they just go to dinner again as colleagues, as friends. And dude is so eager to go to dinner with his colleague that he leaves his phone on the bar. And Hardison is trying to call him to tell him, it's all over the news that Wes has been cleared of all the charges and she's back in charge as CEO of that division. So, dun, 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 somebody's watching them and trying to undo the things that they've done. At least a little. Which, you know, might mean something for the series arc.
Come up later.
But this is just a fun episode. I think it's like a topic that you don't think about a lot. There was that episode, I think like in the second season. Yeah, it was the inside job, right? With the wheat blight. That had to do with agriculture as well, where you're like, oh, you know, Sophie's like, so it's a grocery store. Like, they sell cereal. And Hardison's like, no, this is like a big deal because it feeds everybody. Where you don't think about the big business and the money that is behind these big organizations because it's just what you eat, which is terrifying. But any other thoughts? Anything I blew past? Didn't give you a chance to talk?
No, I think that was it. Although I do imagine that Parker is now trying to get a burn room installed in her warehouse.
In her warehouse. The entire thing is a burn room now. Oh my God.
I mean, the diamonds would be fine. So really?
Yeah, the gold would melt down. But you know how she feels about money.
That's like true. Cash. The cash would be, so she would have to get a special fireproof vault for the cash.
Yeah. I imagine also that Parker has, like, maybe it's kind of like a little water tower, because I just imagine her, like, Scrooge McDucking, like, just swimming in the money. But like in bills, because it's not really easy to swim in coins. Though DuckTales led me to believe that it was.
I mean, maybe it is if you're a duck.
Maybe. They are better at swimming than humans. It's true. It's true. Do you have a heist light you'd like to talk about?
I do. So I was trying to think of farming related things. And this one, unfortunately, doesn't have much of a resolution right now. But apparently, in the UK right now, there's a bunch of sheep theft occurring.
Ooh.
To the point where people are waking up and finding like half their flock is gone. And so they suspect that someone is showing up somehow in the middle of the night with trucks and whatever and carting off batches of sheep.
Oh no. They gotta get like microchips on those babies.
I know, they're gonna have to start low-jacking the sheep. It's
clearly,
clearly how this is gonna get solved.
That's horrible. Oh, the sheep.
Yeah,
I found several because I wanted something that was kind of along those lines. And just like yours, like, because they're happening right now, there's not a lot of resolution to them. But I found several kind of recent things that were, there's the Great Virginia Grape Heist that happened. This was in December 2018, and but in September of that year, this co-owner of this vineyard in Virginia got to the fields early, excited to do like pick the crops for that year before the backwash of Hurricane Florence rolled in, and he got there, and the entire crop, which was like 2.5 tons of grapes, were completely gone.
Oh, wow.
Like overnight. And so they like factoring in all like the labor costs and the lost sales, they lost about $50,000. Which, and so it had to be like a group of people, and it had to be like professionals who knew what they were doing. Because they say like amateurs could never have snipped 3 acres clean so quickly. So it probably was like a crew of like 7 pickers in like 2 pickup trucks in the middle of the night to do this. And it's a limited market because wine grapes aren't like grapes you sell at the grocery store at the farmer's market. And they have to be crushed or pressed within 24 hours to be any good. But that year had been like a really not great harvest because it had been really wet. And they never found it. And so this is happening like every, like in a lot of places where like the, you know, the year has been bad and then people's harvests will go missing. Like in New Zealand, they've had harvests of avocados where like, cause avocados are like $3.30 there, people stealing avocados. And this isn't like, you know, you walk into the orchard and you steal a handful or put some in your shirt and take 10 home. It's like thousands and thousands of them. And then I found another one that was thieves lift like tons of apples and pumpkins from this one farm. They just like came in and took all of them. They plucked and stole 180 bushels of apples, some right off the trees. Just wild. And one of them, they'd stole all the pumpkins, and so the farm had to cancel this like face painting kids Halloween harvest event because there were no pumpkins. That's horrible. and nobody was ever caught in either of these things. You're just like, that's horrific.
Well, and especially with the crops, like, you know, you've got sort of a limited time. Like either you figure out who did it in sort of like within a day or two, or you figure it's probably gone, right? Because they've sold it, they've crushed it, they've turned it into food, you know, like they've done something that's no longer recognizable or identifiable anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. All those avocados are guacamole now, and you'll never be able to say, that's definitely my avocado. So, yeah, and that's, and farming is already like a fraught business to go into. Like, you can't ever afford to lose money because you're always losing money to begin with. You're barely making, you know, even, breaking even. So it's horrible because whoever is doing that is also in the farming community in some way. So they know, and that's, why are people so bad to other people? I don't get it. Whew. Right. On that happy note.
Right.
There was one article that I was reading that was like, they had caught some people and they had stolen oranges. They had so many oranges in their truck. Like, it was like thousands of pounds. And I was like, what kind of trucks were these? That when they opened the doors, the oranges like came toppling out like lava.
Oh my gosh. Like,
that is a great description. I love that. And they found the oranges. So sometimes they do find them.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of a happy ending. All right. Tara, tell people how they can find you on the internet in between episodes of Let's Go Steal a Podcast.
Probably the easiest way is I'm on Twitter a lot. And my handle is at Tara, TARATLK.
Excellent. And I'm on Twitter as well at LibrarianStee. Very good. Oh, I meant to look up what the next episode is. I always mean to look it up and then I never do. Oh, no.
Is it the carnival job?
It might be the carnival job. Yes, it is the carnival job. The carnival job is next. Someone will be on to talk about the carnival job in 2 weeks. And you won't see us again, but you'll hear us again when we do that. So, thank you, Tara, for being on.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome anytime. And bye, everybody.